We focus on what are the steps to get there, not what does it look like once you're there. Because everybody's success is defined differently. I don't want to put the big spotlight on this is what it looks like, super successful
right.
for these one certain people. I want to say, hey man, you want to be successful? Great. Let us help you.
On this episode of A Call to Leadership, I've invited two of my co-hosts, Sam and Travis, on this Business Monday to accompany me on a two-part series on success. We're going to really dive deep and dispel some myths on what success might look like when it comes to chasing shiny objects. But the reality is that there's grit, there's real trial, there's real triumph, and there is real gain that's not even reflected in our bank accounts. I can't wait for you to join us. I'm Dr. Nate Sala, and this is A Call to Leadership. It's not going to be easy. Some aspects of it will be simple. Some of it will be complicated. But if you find the right people around you and you actually provide goods and services that have tremendous market value innovatively, right? And stay in the grind, there's a possibility. But honestly, let's talk about the odds. Odds are against you.
Against you.
Right?
Correct.
That you're going to be successful first shot out. Look, how many people, right, bat 1,000? How many babies, we're talking about families, right, walk their first time after standing up? Zero.
Zero.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can hit 3 out of 10 baseballs, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah. You're in the Hall of Fame, but yeah, you failed 70% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, you have failed 70% of the time, and you are in the Hall of Fame. That's an elite athlete.
Yeah, we say something when kids are doing their drills in hockey. We'll do these edge work and skating drills and things like that. And if the kids are falling, we know they're trying.
Yeah.
If you're not falling,
interesting.
You're not trying.
Interesting.
So the kids that they don't push themselves to the point where they feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. which the drill is uncomfortable, and the kids that are really trying to do it right will fall. If you open a business or become an entrepreneur, you will fall if you're really trying.
I love that. In fact, it reminds me of a story. I don't know if I told you guys the story, but Abram would fall a lot when he was little. And he would just cry like most kids do.
Right.
And I just felt so bad for him. I mean, because he was trying to run. He was trying to do all this stuff and take some hits. And I started telling him, he would be crying, and I'd hold him. And I'd say, son, every fall you get up from is a good fall.
Yep.
And he'd like, Dad, why are you patronizing me? He wouldn't say that because that's a big word, but something along those lines. I'm like, no, son, it's not just physical. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's mental. Get up from the fall. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're falling in the first place, I love that. I never even thought to consider that you actually went all out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a sign. I mean, it's...
Here's the flip side of that is a listener saying, well, I'm just going to go all out and just like, you don't want to not be prudent and not be discerning and not be planning, right? You don't want to just do crazy stuff that is going to get you in huge trouble that you can't recover from, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because there is wisdom involved in it, right? Yeah. That's why we have others around us that can help us vet the fall, right? But still take the shot.
Yeah.
Take the shot.
I do think that no one goes out to fall. Like, we don't, like, we obviously, that's not the goal. But at the end of the day, I think if you're really bought into your vision, you will risk it all.
Well, back to Musk.
I did. I would.
Fail? Yeah. Right, right. I mean,
and his ideas are beyond, like,
yeah.
I think he had that last rocket, if I remember correctly. He's like, if this fails, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just, there's no more money. No one wants to give us any more money for, like, I think it was like the third or fourth. And they're like super expensive. I can't remember the dollar amount, but to get the reusable rockets.
Yeah.
So to your point, right? It's thought out. It's well documented. It's very prudent. But he still fell and fell and fell. But I think there was even an understanding that it's quite possible. It's going to take us. It's going to take us 3 or 4 shots. And I just pray
that one of those last shots works.
It's not for everybody, man. It's not for everybody. You know, I always say entrepreneurship is, it's best to do it when it's yourself. Before you have a large family that you have, then you have to start recalculating, or like
risk
becomes more of a,
it's more risk.
So I think if you're going to get into it, I think that you can get into it at any stage in life. But obviously, the more risk you're able to absorb, as long as you're doing your homework and you're, like Nate said, it's an educated risk, but the reward, right? So I wouldn't took the risk I took now that I took back then, but you're definitely going to fall. And if you're doing it right, you will fall.
And another part of that is even like the added, the family. I mean, yeah, it's easier certainly when you don't have the family. But I remember I got married in 01 and I had been in business for 6 years. And I distinctly remember when I got married. And one of the top things on my mind, besides the honeymoon, all this other stuff, was like, well, I'm going to have to get off of Raymond and Aldi bologna. Like, it's not going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't default to that when I'm out of cash. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm married, it's flipped the script on me. And I actually had to double down and be like, you got to take this stuff seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's game time now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Risk is risk, and we all have to be aware of risk. But also, right, the motivating factor for me, right, to know, like, I have a family to provide for, right? I've got private school to do, you know what I mean? Like, there's all this stuff, and it's like, there's no room for failure. And if it is a failure, right, like, I have to be able to rebound quick. You know what I mean? And so your mind starts thinking, and I do think that stops you from taking the crazy risks, right? Like,
which you enjoyed, and you probably were high on
I love the crazy risks. Yeah, yeah. You know?
So it's like, we're not saying that, but when you talk about the process and how you've kind of been formed, and
yeah,
and obviously now that you're taking a risk, I mean, you're a tenured entrepreneur, mm-hmm. so there is less risk for you because you have experience.
I've failed enough to know what works and what doesn't in this particular
thing. And you're not going to risk more than what you can absorb.
Correct.
But the family adds another dynamic to it. And I think that's important to like have that conversation, because back to the shiny object stuff and all the smoke and mirrors, like there's other parts of this conversation that we need to have with the entrepreneur who wants to 10X or 100X or 1,000X, right? Is that those factors make a difference too in how I approach entrepreneurship. And marriages fail, guys. I mean, I've even say it, but like I've seen it on my end from the accounting and advisory side. Like, I mean, it's not directly, oh, the business did it, but it certainly is a factor, mm-hmm. right? So you got to think all that through.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like a deterrent to entrepreneurship, right? Because when it works,
it's great.
You need a supportive partner to be successful.
Yeah. For you and me, Sam, we started entrepreneurship beforehand. And of course, you had an entrepreneurial spirit and your spouse was on board.
Mm-hmm. She pushed me.
She's an entrepreneur.
She pushed me.
Yeah, because she's a hard charger.
Yeah. She was the one who was like, you need to stop making corporate America so much money. Like, you need to do this.
That's my girl. You know? Yeah, man.
Like, Laura's an A player, man.
Yeah, she's always been. She is. Way. And she does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, when you have an entrepreneur family,
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think about it as we talk about this. It's pretty stinking cool.
Yeah, it is. It's cool, right? And like my kids are like, sometimes they're like, what do you guys do? You know what I mean? Like, because it's so hard to like wrap it up. Like, what?
Dude, it's the most difficult question anyone asks me. I just had this conversation with someone the other day. It's just like, first thing they ask you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you do? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I'm like, oh.
I know.
That goes, what do you do?
So this is what I do. I say, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm involved in a lot of different things.
Yep.
And that's where I typically leave it.
Yeah.
Just hit the 30,000 foot view.
Because this is a rabbit hole.
Right.
Right. Like, how much time do you have?
Right.
Like, you got a couple hours. And on the same token, like, people want to know, but they don't really want to know. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to know everything. But like, my kids are at that age to where like their friends' parents do A, B, and C, right? They're a doctor, or they're a lawyer, or they're whatever, right? And they're like, what do you guys do? You're gone weird hours. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're home, sometimes you're gone. Like, you're always on phone calls. Like, what do you do? And like, trying to explain that is challenging.
I think that I use serial beginning because you initially think crazy.
Yeah.
Right? That's your initial thought. Mm-hmm. Serial entrepreneur. There's entrepreneurs out there who are entrepreneurs that are not dabbling in what we're dabbling in us three.
Yeah.
Like, multiple, you know, they may own something and they've been successful and they have one business and beyond that. But serial entrepreneur, like, you're looking for startups, you're mm-hmm. looking for opportunities, you're mentoring and coaching people in the grind. That is like different level entrepreneur. Well, and we enjoy it.
A lot of people, I mean, like, I hate to say this, right? But a lot of business owners, they're tunnel visioned, right? It's like, all right, what do I need to do for my four walls? And that is important, right? But I think there's another type of entrepreneur like us who's like, all right, we are worried about our own four walls, but we also need something more to make us satisfied, which is helping people. You know what I mean? Helping people, helping businesses, like helping, like just helping.
Leave it there. That's what it is.
Our skill set that we can provide help with happens to be in business.
Which is a need.
It's a need.
It's a huge need. And it's a tremendous amount of business capital, mm-hmm. right? That is lacking, I think, in the marketplace. especially in the realms of how people are helped who need to move forward. And I think that there's a misperception from the outside looking in too, right? Because you talked about like, what do? Because once you say you're an entrepreneur or a serial entrepreneur, all of a sudden all these preconceptions come in. Yeah. Oh, you must have a super cush life and all this other stuff, right?
Certain people have sold that. Certain people, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And there's a segment of entrepreneurs like ourselves that are saying, no. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been kicked in the stomach, punched in the face, risk a lot of money, at risk of putting stress on your marriage, at risk of all these different things like
your own health?
And then do you still want to do it? And they're like, that probably saved you a lot of money and a lot of headache. But I also think that image is the results of the process. And people look at the results, not the process. That's what they focus on. The Mercedes-Benz and the 5-car garage, and which is great.
And you can have it.
Yeah, you can have it. And I don't think you should be ashamed to have it. That'd be great.
Right.
But I also think that, and you've probably met these guys before, that's all they talk about is where they're at, not how they've got there, but what they have mainly, right? Like, I don't want to hear about all that. Like, great, you have all that. So I have stuff too. But like, how'd you get to where you're at?
All the guys that I dealt with like on Wall Street for those years, like, that's it, right? It's all about just
clout.
Clout.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And they think, right, the problem is that you're in an echo chamber where it's like, right, like, you know, like everybody's got clout. And if you don't have clout, then all of a sudden you feel differently about it. And you're like, well, I need clout. I need that, or I need that, or I need that. And at the end of the day, you're trying to impress this very, very small group of people that are the most, I don't say this lightly, the most miserable people with their own lives, right? Like, and we're talking alcoholics, cocaine, strippers, right? Mm-hmm. The things that, I mean, if you're on my, oh, that sounds amazing. No, it's terrible. You see a 50-year-old dude at a strip club at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Rough life.
That's miserable. So I think, right, we all focus on, oh, that's a great cake. You know what I mean? We don't focus on, what did it take to make that cake? It's normal flour. It's normal sugar. It's normal baking, like the stuff.
One that, right? I like the most is you have like business A who's struggling and business B who's flourishing, and a person sees both from the outside. Mm-hmm. They say, well, look at business. This B is like flourishing. Why are you in a business? And you be flourishing too? I mean, you're struggling. You could barely pay your bills.
Right.
But like that B business was A, just went through the process and is there now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's less glamorous to talk about those things, failure, strife, all the things that build character and build those skill sets that get you to success, mm-hmm. right? But no, there's a huge superficial wave of people that are easily sold on everything that doesn't matter.
Agreed. That's why I think this show is for those people that want to know, right? Like, how do you take your business from A to B? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what needs to happen in my day-to-day life and my month-to-month and my quarter-over-quarter, year-over-year, what are the things that I need to work on to take me from A to B, or to take me from, hey, I think I want to be an entrepreneur and I've got this crazy idea and I want to be successful. We focus on what are the steps to get there, not what does it look like once you're there. Everybody's success is defined differently. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, my success now at 42 is I can pay my bills. I can live comfortably. I get to spend time with my family, go on a family vacation. I'm not going to Miami and partying, right? I'm going to a quiet beach town and riding bicycles with my kids, right? Yeah. And so I don't want to put the big spotlight on this is what it looks like, super successful
right.
for these one certain people. Mm-hmm. I want to say, hey, man, whatever. You want to start a business? Great. You have a business? Great. You want to be more successful? Great. Let us help you, show you the way from people who have been there and done that to show you how to be successful and teach you how to overcome some of the struggles that you're inevitably going to face.
Because we haven't been perfect and we've made a ton of mistakes 100%. And we learned from them.
100%.
That's the key though.
I'm batting maybe 175.
Yeah. Shit, I'm not even batting.
You know
that.
What I mean? But like, when you've been doing it for a certain amount of time and you've tried so many different things, like 175 ain't bad.
You think about it, it's not like 10 things that have to go right.
Right.
You just have to have that one idea, that one business with legs, I guess you would call it. And then that opens up other avenues. People invest in other businesses, you know?
Yeah. And helping other people isn't just helping them to have one aspect of this entire irresistible life met. because then what happens when everything else is in shambles? Like that is, you just give it away to get back what really matters. In fact, you guys hear it all the time. You watch a YouTube video and somebody will introduce like some story of a billionaire. Like, this person's so successful because they're a billionaire. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Is that the measure of success? Because let's peel back some layers. Mm-hmm. Like, what's their life look like?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's not necessarily the case, but this particular story, this particular billionaire, like, I don't know how many marriages and just like life on the rocks and miserable and like contemplating suicide. And it's like, that does not look appealing or attractive to me. At all, in the least bit. So let's call it out. Let's look at what an irresistible life looks like as someone in business, as an entrepreneur. And of course, the financial component is an important, essential component, but it is just one piece of an entire picture of what a life looks like that I want to get up every morning and be like, I love this life. And on top of that, you can't possibly hope to inspire others to live irresistibly in your organization if you're a poser.
Correct.
If you're out there like, boy, I work for this guy and he's totally miserable and they don't even know where your company's
going. He's got a nice
car. Yeah, he's got a nice car and he takes really cool vacations, right?
But he hates his life.
Apparently
everybody can have a nice car these days, because like when I was growing up, it was like you never seen like a Lamborghini in your life.
Now
everyone on Facebook and Instagram has a Lamborghini. I mean, it's true though. I've never seen this 100%. Many before.
Right.
This was like the ultimate in status. Mm-hmm. You pulled up in this Lamborghini when we were kids. I mean, out on the wall.
Yeah.
And now it's like,
hey, I got to spare $5,000 a month. Let me go lease this thing. Basically. You know what I mean? Like, a story my dad taught me when I was really young has always stuck with me. So before he started a business, he was a finance guy in a bank, right? So he had this older guy who made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, made a lot of money, right? And so you're sitting down talking to him one day, and the guy was like, listen, whether I've got $10 in the bank or I've got $10 million in the bank, he's like, it's all zeros. I'm not going to live my life worried about a zero. And like, made sense to me. You know what I mean? I want to be happy. And so money is important because you have to pay for things. Mm-hmm. That's it. You have to pay for things.
Right.
You die, you don't take your money with you, right? You don't take all these things with you. And so money is important, and I don't ever want to give away or pretend like I don't think money is important. But it's not everything.
No.
It's definitely not
everything. It can be everything. I feel like if you're chasing, I mean, yeah, you can chasing be successful zeros, chasing just, zeros. You can, but you're not going to be passionate about it.
You're not going to be happy.
You're not going to be happy.
Because how many zeros do you need?
Yeah, I know guys have made a lot of money doing something that they absolutely hate.
Yeah. Spend 40 years doing something you hate, right?
Just sounds miserable.
Yeah, no, right. Like,
well,
and most of those rich guys, when they're on their deathbed, would probably give up all that money to do it over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I'm going to point the listener back, if you haven't listened to episode 6, because episode 6 was part of our initial course on leadership, and episode 6 is all about profit and purpose.
Yeah.
And what we outline in that episode is that there's all different profit centers. And really what profit means, it just means gain. There's relational profit centers. There's the legacy that I leave. There's the financial profit center. So when we talk about being profitable, built to profit, what we're talking about is not just dollars, because, and honestly, here's another thing that I'm going to challenge. It's actually selling yourself too short, because it's a formula. If you want to make money in a business, then you put a formula together to make money. Yes, there's arduous parts, but you can make that money. The heavy lifting is living a life that is fruitful in other areas too, with your family, with your friendships, in your own life, where you wake up in the morning and you're not totally miserable because you have no time for yourself, or you've given yourself zero margin. You've set unrealistic expectations for what life should look like. I mean, all of that fits into having a real profitable life. Mm-hmm. So that goes far beyond just like getting into business because, oh, wow, this guy's got a jet and he's hanging out with celebrities and all this other stuff. That's sure. It's fun. That's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Just fun.
That's it.
It's it.
That's what starts and stops.
But after a while, it's not even fun anymore.
Doesn't even matter anymore.
Like, it doesn't matter. I wish our society would get away from this. Look at me, Instagram. You know what I mean?
It's like made
this
it worse.
Mentality.
It's made it worse.
That it's just it's you worse. Need all this stuff, right, to be happy. Because the majority of people aren't going to get all that stuff. Right. The average person makes what? $45,000.
$65,000 is the family medium.
Family medium, right? At least in this region. $65,000 a year. That person is never going to touch that stuff.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that that isn't a successful life that that person has. That person could have an extraordinarily successful life.
You like it. Or like, hey, I like having this.
Right.
But you know, having it, it's still material and it's still not what's important, but you have it.
Well, and then what happens? Let's just call it out, guys. We've all had nice new cars or a fancy watch or whatever. After 2-3 weeks,
it just loses its...
It's your car.
It's a car.
Yeah. It's still fun to drive and all this other stuff, but new stuff loses the excitement of newness.
Absolutely.
And it's like, okay, if I'm laying it on the line that my happiness and my joy is tied up in this, it's going to be a losing game every time because I'm going to have to keep one-upping it. And so I don't want to live like that. Now, granted, if you can buy it, have fun with it, whatever. We all have nice stuff, right? But it doesn't define...
It can't define you. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because as soon as it defines you... You become, I mean, it really becomes like this.
You're a slave to it.
Yeah.
You're a slave to that.
And like, or it just becomes really kind of superficial. Like, well, that's what I've noticed. Like, if you have things and people know you have things, and then it's like they kind of look at you almost different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's good or it's bad.
I've never been impressed with all the zeros, and I'm glad you brought that up because I use that same terminology. The zeros behind the one in someone's bank account. Mm-hmm. What truly inspires me is what others can do to help others with it, right? Now, between you and God and whatever you do with your money, but it just doesn't do anything for me because I think that, man, the biggest contribution I can make on this planet is knowing that whatever I've been gifted and trusted with, that I can turn around and do good with. And I think that is our ideal listener, right? Our ideal avatar is someone who wants to go deeper, wants to run the business life in a way that is fruitful and honoring, that is transparent, and ultimately that leads them to wake up every morning and be thankful for another day. Well, my friend, we did it. I'm so honored you were able to join me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. Now, this might not be for everyone because you really have to be in a certain place in order to take the kind of steps to level up your leadership. And I want you to be taking steps. And for those of you who feel like you're ready for something like this, there's a place you can go. You can go to our website, greatsummit.com. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. But here's the cool thing that we have. We've got a masterclass. We have all different kinds of events. We even have our leadership club where you can meet other people just like you. To go deeper in your leadership journey, you and I will get to spend some time together and really focus on aiming for greatness. I can't wait to see you there. I'm Dr. Nate Salla, and this is A Call to Leadership.